You're listening to What She Said, a podcast for bloggers and creatives hosted by me, Lucy Sharif, a freelance journalist living in London. Each week, I interview different women in blogging and the online world, getting their best blogging tips and advice and a little bit of gossip too. Thanks for listening. Hello and welcome to another episode of What She Said. This week I'm chatting to Shah from Taylor Hearts Travel. And as I record this intro, I'm just about to get everything packed up for a weekend at Wilderness Camping Festival with my baby. And to say that I'm a little bit nervous and apprehensive is an understatement. But... So it's kind of timely because I chatted all about family travel with Shah. Shah runs the blog Taylor Hearts Travel, which is all about redefining family travel. She goes to really cool places with her little boy Nova, and she's got one on the way, which is very exciting. And we had a really interesting chat about professionalism in blogging, about how you reach out to brands to work with them, and even when you feel like they're gonna say no and you have that imposter syndrome. She's super duper organized. Her Work With Me page is incredible, and she's a really good example of someone who very subtly manages to be a dominant force in her niche. She's also Team Travel Hack. So she writes for Monica, a friend of the podcast, who gets mentioned in every podcast for very good reason. So yeah, we'll touch on that as well. I really, really hope you enjoy the show. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being part of it. Do you want to, for anybody that doesn't know who you are, would you mind introducing yourself and telling us about your blogging journey so far?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Shah and I run the blog Taylor Hearts Travel, and it's all about trying to redefine family travel. So to show that, one, when you have kids, your life doesn't end.
Good to know.
And two, that you can still travel to nice and exciting destinations and stay in like really lovely properties as well. When I was pregnant with my first, so many people told me, oh, so you're not going to travel anymore. And, you know, that's sort of basically the end of your life. You're just going to become a mum and nothing else. Yeah. And I was kind of like, don't think so. But I guess with the unknown, you kind of have that bit of a niggle at the back of your mind thinking, oh gosh, am I being really naive? And, yeah, you know, is that the case? But, yeah, so I guess my blog has morphed from being just about my stylish travels and adventures and things to those with my mini explorer and soon to be her second mini explorer.
So exciting. So how did, taking it right back to the beginning, when did you start your blog and why?
So I started it, I can't even remember the year. I think I've been blogging for about 3 or 4 years now. And I've always liked travel. I did a sort of backpacking around the world sort of cliche trip that everyone else seems to do. And then when I came back and got, you know, like a full-time job and stuff, and was still using sort of my annual leave to go on weekend breaks and longer breaks and sort of squeezing in trips to, I don't know, Peru just in a couple of weeks and things. And my friends and people just used to ask me for recommendations all the time, and, you know, and wanted my advice when they were booking their own trip. And I just thought, oh, actually, I could probably just put this all on a website, use it as a place to do a bit of writing, which I enjoyed anyway, and to share my travels and photos and things and sort of point people to that. And I guess because you can start a blog so easily, there was no risk. I didn't have to give up my job and my pay and everything just to do something that I enjoyed. I could do it as well. I could do it on the side. So it slotted in quite nicely, and it just sort of snowballed from there, really.
So when you say it snowballed, so I'll interject at this point and say that Shah is a member of Team Travel Hack,
But when you say it snowballed, when did things go from just a hobby blog to being more than just a hobby blog?
I can't remember the exact point, but it was quite early on. I remember I pitched to this spa, like this really nice place, a hotel in the Cotswolds. Mm-hmm. And I sort of sent the email on a whim, and I undenied for ages, and I was like, oh my gosh, can I send this? Can I pitch to somebody? Like, I had no idea, like, hadn't done anything like that before, and it's really different to my day job as well. And I was like, oh, do you know what? I'm just going to send it. And they came back, and they were like, yeah, we'd love to host you and work together. And I went and stayed there and did a review and a write-up and things. And I was like, wow, this is actually, like, people do want to work together, and people are interested in what I've got to say. And from there, that gave me a bit of confidence to perhaps pitch to other people. And then I guess once I'd built my content up a bit and people saw that I was working with different brands, then brands started to get in touch with me, and gave us lots of opportunities, really.
So at what point did you create a media kit? And because you've got a really good Work With Me page.
Thanks.
Comprehensive, and it's really good. I'll link it, obviously, in the show notes, but it's a great example of a simple, to the point, coherent Work With Me page, I would say. When did you kind of create that media kit, and how did you do it, what did you decide to put in it, etc., etc., because I hear people worrying about that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, my day job is an executive assistant, so kind of like a PA, so I'm super organized anyway.
Yeah.
It's just a part of me, and I guess it's my own blog, and so I like having everything neat and organized. Yeah. And I don't know, I'm a bit forgetful as well, though, so it's nice to have a page where I can just every time I do something add a new achievement or add a new collaboration on there, as a kind of a way to keep track of it all for me as well as showcasing what I do. But I don't think for that very first pitch I had a media kit and probably didn't even know what one was. And then the more I got into blogging and was reading others, and then I went to a couple of sort of blog conferences, partly to meet other bloggers and partly to sort of learn a bit. And they'd say, oh, you really need a media kit, and, you know, it's what you should be sending to brands. And then I started thinking, oh, gosh, I'm writing to these people and not even, like, you know, sending it as an attachment, like I'd say a bit in the blurb and things, and, you know, I guess say what my blog was about and what I'd achieved so far. But maybe after, I really don't know, maybe after the first year or so, I decided to put it into a media kit, and then it's ever evolving. So I've changed it so many times, just, I don't know, I might see someone else's and think, oh, that's a good idea, I should put that bit in. Or I guess I had to change it, obviously, when I had my first child, just to sort of change the angle a bit and to show that I'd be then blogging about stylish family travel.
How did you manage that? Because I'm in a similar, well, same position as you were probably back when you first had Nova, that I'm going from being just a traveller to suddenly incorporating a baby into things, and I definitely know I want to travel.
Yeah.
How did you manage that kind of rebranding, as it were?
Yeah, so I guess it's a bit daunting, really, because it's a big change, and you say, oh, God, do people really want to, like, listen to baby stuff? Or, you know, I don't want to be the person that's, like, baby spamming everyone.
No, I feel the same.
But then I was like, this is silly. Like, I want to travel with Nova, and, you know, yeah, there are going to be times when I travel without him, and there have been, but predominantly my focus, and I don't know, everyone always says you should have a niche, although I hate that word, and like a, you know, a set focus, but I was like, in a way, family travel does allow me that, and, you know, I get to do what I want to do and still write about it. And I had a look on other blogs, and I couldn't really see anyone that was doing the same sort of thing, and I don't know, I guess you can only really be authentic to yourself and do and write about what you enjoy and things that you're doing. So it was just kind of a natural thing, but it was a bit nerve-wracking, you know, like, oh my gosh, am I really going to do this? Am I going to change my little bio and Twitter bio bit and things like that?
It's scary, actually.
With it. Yeah. Because as well, then if you want to work with brands, you're thinking, okay, so now this brand is not only buying into me, they've got to trust that my child's going to, you know, be well behaved, or they're going to come along, or I'm not going to bail at the last minute. And the parents even want to do that. And I don't show pictures of Nova's face or really any of him. So then there's the whole niggle of, oh, are they even going to want to work with someone that doesn't, you know, share those happy, smiley faces and the stuff that buy into us for family travel.
That's really interesting. It was one of the questions I wanted to ask you, actually, because you wrote a really good post about why you don't show pictures of Nova's face. And actually, I've been reading your blog before you posted this, and I suddenly was like, oh yeah, she doesn't show pictures of his face. And it's really clever the way you do it. It will always be, you know, the back of him or something will be blurred. Yeah. You know, it's not that he's never there or pixelated or anything. But you kind of do it in quite a clever way.
Thank you.
So I know the reasons why you don't show pictures of Nova's face, but do you want to share with the listeners why?
It's a variety of things, I guess, really, but mainly it comes down to that I think it's his choice if he wants his face to be on the internet, I suppose. And as at the start, when I first started blogging, I didn't really put too many pictures up of myself because I just felt, I don't know, really self-conscious, and I'm quite a private person. And, you know, people say you've got to be careful what you put on the net and things. And, yeah, so it's sort of that. And then also I've been in the situation where people have put, or family have put pictures up, you know, like childhood ones up of me on, I don't know, their Facebook page or something. And I hate it. And I've asked them to be taken down, and they haven't. And I don't want to do that to Nova. And if at any point when he's older, and if, I don't even know, he might not be interested, but if he looked back through anything, and even the ones where I'm not showing him, or I'm saying something, if he said, actually, I really don't like that, that's embarrassing, or whatever reason, I would take it down, because it's his choice. He's my son, but he's not my property.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's kind of a conundrum that I had when Anais was born, and I do show a lot of pictures of her online, and I've decided I'm kind of okay with that, but I feel the same as you. If when she gets older, if she asks me to take them down, then that's fine, especially the naked pictures.
Weird.
Pictures in her nappy and stuff.
Yeah, she might not want those, but it's so hard, isn't it? Because you can't ask them. You don't know what it's going to be like, and times have changed so much since when we were younger. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that once he's at whatever age, he's going to have, you know, I don't know, maybe people won't even have a photo, everything will be video, and I don't know, it's just a whole new concept, and I think you've just got to do what you're comfortable with, and I don't judge anyone that chooses to show them or doesn't show them or whatever. I just think you're the one that's got to be happy with it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. But going back to working with brands, so when Monica was on, she was talking about, we touched on kind of etiquette when you're working on press trips, and the before press trips and after, and you mentioned pitching to people. Do you have you probably have a bit more of a slick process now than when you started out, when you initially sent that first scary pitch email, not expecting anyone to come back? How do you go about it?
I still have the whole, like, oh, they're gonna laugh in my face, or should I send it or not? But yeah, I guess I have a sort of, I don't know, not a template, but I have a sort of standard email that I start from as a draft and then tweak. But I'll do a lot of research on the brand, and I think probably 90% of the time it's a brand that I've maybe met at an event, or we've been speaking on email before, so it's not really a out of the blue kind of thing. So there's a bit of a rapport there already, which I think helps. So I'll have a sort of understanding of whether they would even work with, you know, if they even work with bloggers, I guess, or if they pay, that sort of thing.
And how do you find that sort of stuff out? So when you
it's really hard.
I find it quite hard. I'm the same as you. I'll probably know them because I've met them at an event or a blogging conference, or we've got mutual friends or whatever. But I've had a few tips in the past of how to work out whether they work with bloggers. And actually one, which is quite good, is if, say, you're going to a specific, a really specific town in wherever, you or a specific hotel, you just type in, just Google it, and then put in all views my own.
Oh yeah, I've had that one. Yeah, I haven't done that, to be honest, but it is a good idea, I suppose.
It's not, to be honest, it's quite a good tip, but yeah.
I tend to do it I'm just going to say the other way around, but like I tend to just look at a hotel, like if I'm going to a particular destination, I would look for a hotel like I normally would if I'm booking my own trip, mm-hmm. and maybe like find three hotels that I like the look of, and then I just send an email to the PR contact or mm-hmm. something like that if it's out of the blue. But if it's someone that I've been speaking to, I've usually been on an event or, you know, like they want to host you to do a bit of, I don't know what the right word is, like bonding or, you know, just to get like to know you, I suppose. Yeah. And a lot of the times, like if it's going well and we're just having a chat, then, because a lot of the times it's not very formal, you know, you may be at a spa day or say for afternoon tea or, you know, nice things, and they're normal people as well. So I usually just say, like, do you work with bloggers? How do you like to work with them?
That's a what good sort tip. Of things, just ask.
What sort of things do you look for? So, and then I usually, like, if it's going okay, then at the end I say, so do you think, like, you know, you would like to work with me, or do you think my blog is the sort of thing? And you can get a sort of good indication then. And they're usually quite honest to be as well.
What about when you're actually working with them when you're on the trip? So whether it's a press trip or just a hotel review or whatever, how do you go about it?
Well, I mean, I'm more picky now with who I work with and what trips I go on. So before I went on a couple of press trips where you're in a group of maybe like, I don't know, 5 to 10 people. And so you've got like a really tight schedule. You're going from here, here and here. And you know, they were great and like in their own way kind of work and stuff. But now with Nova, and I guess because I know what works for my blog or what I'm interested in, I'm better at saying no. And so I tend to do more individual trips.
Yeah.
And so I'm not being hosted necessarily. I'm, you know, me, Jay and Nova will go and do our own thing and treat it as like a normal trip. And so I think it's a bit better in my opinion, because then it's a more authentic experience that a reader would perhaps have rather than being sort of chauffeured from here to there.
And then you can combine it with bits and bobs that you've paid for as well. So I find that I get a bit more content out of this. Is a bit more of a joy in writing the content as well, because I don't know about you, but if I have to write something, even if I've had a really good time, I suddenly become a teenager and I'm like, no, I don't want to write it.
Yeah, and you're constantly checking a brief and like, oh, do I have to say that bit? Yeah. Or it's much easier just to flow and just to write and yeah, as though you've paid for it or you've experienced it, you know, you've just picked it on your own.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same. And what do you do afterwards?
So I always make sure, like, a couple of days before a trip or whatever, I'll get in touch and just to, you know, make sure everything's okay and they're happy. And then afterwards, I would always, within a couple of days, just send a note to say thanks and, you know, that just a polite courtesy email to say that I'll be in touch, or if there was any issues, obviously update them. And then once my posts go live and things like that, then I would send the links, and then I usually wait a little while, and then I put together a sort of report that includes like screenshots of any comments or private messages, you know, people saying that they've really liked where I went and they want to do the same sort of thing, basically all the positive stuff that sort of helps to show the brand that I was the right choice to work with.
So if there's been any issues, because I've had a couple of trips and it's only natural that there's sometimes going to be issues, it sometimes doesn't go quite to plan.
Yeah.
And I've seen on Twitter when people are like, oh God, I don't know what to do, because obviously in all of our disclaimers we'll say all views my own, and I'll be honest. Yeah. But and so I think all of us feel, or most of us feel, like we really want to honour that. At the same time, when you're working with a brand, how do you manage it?
Oh, it's really cringy. I hate it when stuff goes wrong. I mean, I haven't had anything too major, to be honest. I'm quite lucky, and that I think because, well, I research a lot of the stuff, and you know, if it's a property, then I've made sure that it's my cup of tea and things. Yeah, there are sometimes things that just are out of your control. But I don't tend to write bad reviews on my site, not because I want to protect anyone, but just because I don't want to waste my time writing a whole blog post moaning about something when actually sometimes I think it's better just left unsaid. But if it was something as part of a wider a blog post, you know, where everything else was fine, if I think it makes a difference to the reader, then I would say, but I'd probably give my contact a heads up. But yeah. I wouldn't want to send a reader to a hotel being like, oh my gosh, it's amazing, and you know, painting this whole picture, and then they spend their own money and actually it's not what I've said it is, like, because then they're not going to come back to my blog and I'm just going to look like a fake.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. It is about touching base with your contact, whether that's a PR or there's normally someone, the manager of the hotel or whatever, and letting them know first as a courtesy. And I've found that when that has happened, it's only happened to me a couple of times, but obviously you say it in a really constructive way.
That's what I was going to say. You don't need to be rude about it. I've seen some people tweet stuff or, you know, moaning in groups and things, and I just think that's not my style at all. I'd rather keep it private. Yeah, I don't want to air dirty laundry or anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to work with people again, and also that person may move on to another hotel that you want to work for, and
exactly,
you want to keep your reputation.
Yeah, definitely.
So moving on to some of your other bits and pieces that you've got alongside your blog, hello Anais, she's got something to say. Your mini explorer milestone cards, which I have a set of, thank you very much. How did that all come about?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm one of these people that has like ideas and inventions for everything all the time. Like, wow, I should make that. And this is a really good idea. But this one was something that I could actually go through with and implement pretty easily.
Yeah.
I don't know. You see all these milestone cards that are for like my first tooth and my first steps, which I love. And I've got sets of and things. But I was like, oh, to me though, because I love travel so much, I knew I was going to take Nova on lots of trips during maternity leave. So it's like, these are the things that I want to capture. And I don't know if you're finding it yet, but stuff just blurs into one for me. So I'll be like, oh my gosh, Nova has done this. I'm going to remember it forever. And then 2 months later, I'm like, what age did he do that? Or where were we? So I kind of thought this, like the milestone cards, they're basically photo props saying like, my first dip in the sea, or my first passport, my first flight. And then you can sort of prop that up with the baby or toddler and then take a picture. And so you've obviously got that memory to treasure. But then you can also turn the card over, and on the back it's like a postcard, so you can write down the where and the why if you want to, and then put it in a memory box or post it to somebody and things. So
it's such a good idea.
I thought it was.
Yeah, I love it.
Whether anyone else loves travel and traveling with kids as much, I don't know, but yeah.
But it's brilliant.
It's a bit of a selfish thing.
Yeah, but it's brilliant because it's not just you know, for the hardcore traveller, because there's stuff like, yeah, I mean, you could do a lot of it if you were just staying within the country, like just your first trip to the beach, or, well, obviously not my first passport.
First train ride.
It's not all, obviously there's first long haul flight and first flight in general, but you don't have to be, it's not like my first trip to the Taj Mahal and it's accessible.
Second edition.
Oh yeah, you should have one. The hardcore mini explorer milestone cards. Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, I can't wait to use them with it, because I made them once I'd had Nova and we'd been on quite a few trips already. So with the second one, I'm like, oh, where can I go? And like, going to get to actually use them with my own childhood, which will be nice.
Yeah, that'd be super exciting. And you'll have a set of photos, won't you? Because you'll have like the just a normal family photo, and then also a more creative one where you don't show the face.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
not showing Nova's face on my blog, to be honest, because it does mean you have to double up on all the pictures. So obviously I've got my own collection, you know, of his like, little toothy smile and things. But then I'm like, oh no, if I'm going to blog about this, I need to take another one.
It's good though. I think it probably keeps you on your toes a little bit, because I find it's quite easy to be lazy with the pictures. I mean, I certainly am. I'll use the same pictures for this. you know, over and over again, that actually if you have to take pictures a certain way for the blog post, it makes you be a bit more creative, doesn't it?
Well, definitely now. When he was younger and he's just a baby, you know, they just sleep and you can just pick him up and, you know, it's a lot easier. But now he's, like, on the move, and even getting him to stand still just for a regular picture is, like, it's like impossible, I think. So, yeah, definitely got my work cut out.
So going back to your blogging journey and kind of how you started growing, and we've already mentioned that you write for Monica and Team Travel Hack. What did you find were kind of the biggest growth game changers for your blog?
Yeah, I guess being on the Travel Hack is amazing because it's such a huge blog and one that I'd followed for, like, since I started blogging, really. I'd met Monica at a couple of events, and, like, she's really lovely, just as lovely as she seems on her blog.
Yeah, she's so
Yeah, so I'd sort of chatted to her, and then she put up, I think she called for people to do, like, you know, to write a blog post on a particular destination, like a travel guide. I was like, oh, I'd just been to San Francisco. So I wrote one of those and submitted it and didn't know if it would, you know, make the cut, sort of thing. And that went ahead. And then not too long after that, she said about, she put a blog post up saying that she was looking for a team. And so I just thought, oh, I don't know whether to or not, and kind of did that. And that's how it, that bit came about. And that obviously helps my blog and good with, you know, can use that as a way to share my family travel as well, and to hopefully inspire other people to travel with their children. And then I guess I had a big spike when I worked with the airline KLM. I partnered up with them for a trip to Canada when Nova, I think he was 6 months old, with my husband as well, and we went to Edmonton and to Jasper National Park. And we had such an amazing time, like, fell in love with it, that place, and it was just so, so good. And so I think that came out in my writing, when I was writing about the places, and the Edmonton one did really well with the locals there, and they were all sharing it and commenting. I think it's got over, like, 60 comments on, the one blog post of people being like, yeah, I love my hometown too, and sharing their sort of insights. And KLM also were really good to work with in that they shared my content on their social media channels as well. They've got crazy numbers, so that was a really good time for the blog.
Oh wow, that's brilliant. That's you've touched on something there. Creating shareable content can be really difficult if you're trying to think of it that way around. If you do accidentally kind of write something that's just, and often it is because it's come from a place of authenticity, so you did actually just genuinely really love where you went, or you're writing about a sort of more emotional subject,
definitely the ones from the heart do well, I think.
I always find that they're the ones that people really are moved to comment on, and I would always say to other bloggers, if you're stuck for something to write or you're worried about getting gritty and real, just do it, because you just won't regret it.
Definitely. I think sort of passion and putting yourself out there a bit, then people do buy into it, rather than just reading, I don't know, like a travel guide. They, you know, they could pick up a Lonely Planet guidebook if they wanted to read, like, facts and stuff. And at the start, like, I did have that whole, like, dilemma of what is a blog, like, should I just be writing, you know, you can do this and top 10 things to do in X places, or should it be, have a bit more of a personal tone? Do people even care what I liked or didn't like and stuff? But I do think the personal bits seem to work better.
Yeah, I agree. And so I was reading one of your posts, and I can't remember what it was. It was kind of recently, and you were talking about travel. I can't remember the title. I'll find it and link it in the show notes. But you were talking about travel blogging and just... I think maybe you'd, it was an old one. It was a couple of years ago, I think. And just what it meant for you now, and you'd had a bit of a
Was it the death of travel blogging or something?
That one.
I think that was one of the first posts I wrote after I had Nova. So before I'd had all this time to do what I wanted with my blog and, you know, could spend all my evenings, all my weekends and spend all this time fretting and analyzing and, I don't know, trying to follow all these guides that tell you how to have a great blog and stuff. And I think when you have, or at least when I had Nova, you're just, time is so precious and, you know, I don't get to blog all the time and because I'm looking after him, which is fine. Like, I love that and stuff, but it just made me be a bit more like, actually, I'm going to write what I want to write and not worry how many likes or comments it's going to get. And just because I want to, I don't know, put, I was going to say put pen to paper, but it's not really right. Yeah. Just sometimes you just want to say something, don't you? And just get it out there. And it is hard though, like to just switch off and think, you know, I don't care if anyone reads it or not. Because of course you want people to agree with you or to be like, yeah, that's really well written and things like that. But I do find it a bit easier now to just put something out there and not worry so much, partly because I just haven't got the time or the mental space, I don't think, anymore.
Which I think is a really good thing. Because in the post you also mentioned that you'd spent a lot of time comparing yourself, which... Oh my God.
Yeah.
I've related to it so much, and I'm sure everybody listening to this will relate to it as well. The amount of times that I hear a blogger who I look at and think, you're so much more successful than me, but and they'll say, I've compared myself and I've worried about what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing. And then you get to a stage where you just don't care. I mean, obviously for you, that was having a baby and physically being forced to not care. Was there anything else on your journey that where you were like, actually, sod it, I'm not doing this the way that people tell me to do?
I guess I'm a bit stubborn anyway, and I don't really like being told what to do, I guess, like you were saying earlier. And I think after a while you just realize you can't, it's really hard to keep up with other people or to try and be something that you're not, or to, and it's really hard to analyze other people's blogs just from reading it, to know why they're writing what they're writing or to know why they're going on a trip. And I don't know, as much as like, yeah, there are things that I'm jealous of, and of course I'd love my blog to be bigger and better, but that's going to be never ending. I'm sure like the bigger bloggers think that as well, and there's been times when I've been reading a big blog and then I'll see their tweet and they're like, I don't know, they're looking like, the tweets sound like they're trying to, you know, work with somebody on a free trip or something, and then the next thing is saying that they've just booked it themselves. And I think, wow, why can't you like team up with the brand and go on an amazing trip if I can? So I guess it swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
I completely agree. I think realizing that as early as you can, I mean, it's really hard to say that, isn't it, as a tip?
Yeah.
Like, try and realize this early.
Just do your own thing and be proud of that, I think, and set yourself, I don't know, like I used to do a little dance after I got an email back saying like, yes, I have to work with you, and like sometimes I still do. And I think just hold on to those things. And I guess I'm quite lucky in that my husband keeps me in check as well. He'll be like, why are you moaning about that when, like, you've just done X, X, and X? Or you wouldn't even want to do that trip anyway, or you wouldn't want to do that sort of thing. So he's good for a quick slap on the face, so to speak, to be like, stop moaning.
I think that's two really good bits of advice. Celebrate every win, however small.
Yeah.
Even if you think it's tiny, that you've emailed your local, a local B&B that you didn't think would ever work with you and they have, or even if it's just a little restaurant review, whatever, like if that matters to you, then celebrate it 100%.
Definitely.
Another thing I wanted to talk about is something that's a bit controversial, I think, in the blogging world, and actually it's something that I don't know, my feelings about it go up and down all the time, and I think I'm in a good place with how I feel about it now, but I'm not sure. It's working, oh, it's not really working for free, but it's basically how you work with brands, whether they pay you, what constitutes a good deal. So for me now, I sort of feel like there's things that I actively would rather pay for myself because I don't want the hassle, and there are things that I feel I'm really comfortable just accepting a freebie.
Yeah,
because actually, it, like, that to me is a value. And yeah, then there's things that I just I won't do for free because it's just not of value. And I don't know, what are your, do you have like a kind of inner rule book, as it were?
Yeah, I think I'm better now at saying no to things rather than in the early days. You know, if someone wanted to work with me, I was just so grateful that they'd read my blog and had noticed me, I guess, that I felt like perhaps I should. But now, and especially since having Nova and things, like, time is even more precious. So I guess, I think it's a bit easier, one, to say no to things if actually the work that you're going to put in doesn't really add up to what you're going to get out of it. And then, there are some things where I'm like, actually, I know it means I'm going to get less opportunities, but I think I should be paid for doing X, X, and X. Yes. So, you know, whether I'm pitching or they're pitching to me, I'll ask what their budget is if it's something that I think I should be paid for. And if they come back and say, no, we don't have one, then I've sort of made that decision. Well, then I'm sorry, I can't work with you. But, you know, if anything changes, come back to me.
That's a really good
tip. Is really hard. It's hard when you get a really nice, exciting invitation to some far-flung destination and you really want to go. But I don't know, I guess now I think, especially when it's a family trip, I'd much rather just pay for it myself and not do any, not feel like I have to work on it and just enjoy it as a family, you know, save up the money and go on our own accord. When you're working on a trip, it is so much work. Like, everyone's, like, you know, friends are like, oh, you're on another freebie again.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
I guess
free.
It is a freebie, but you do have to do work. And, you know, as much as a blog post maybe doesn't look that much up there, I don't know. It takes ages to write it, edit it, do all the SEO stuff, edit the pictures. Like, promote I'm trying to do a bit more video now, so then that takes time. And. Yeah. Yeah, there is a lot that goes into it, and yeah, you do get a lot out of it, but it's not the same as, I don't know, winning a competition
Absolutely,
and just getting to go on an exciting trip.
This is when it's better to be a journalist on a free trip, because it is easier.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's a lot harder when you're a blogger, because also there's social media as well that you have to do. What's your... It's never ending. What's your favourite type of social media to use as a blogger?
I really like an Instagram at the moment, and like the Insta stories and things, but I have the whole struggle of, because my blog and my whole profile is about family travel, that when I'm not travelling, trying to still be on those channels and not just being like, oh, I'm doing the washing now, or, you know, boring things like that. But then I watch other people's and they're doing things like that. And some of those, I don't know, I just buy into the person and I like watching them. So I've got that whole dilemma at the minute. But I'd probably say
show
Instagram.
Yourself, Marsha. I love it when you talk about Instagram stories. I think that's another really good point. What happens when you're not traveling and you're a travel blogger? Because both of us are not full-time travel bloggers. And we're also not full-time travellers because of,
and especially when you're having a baby, like I'm not allowed to fly anymore,
of course,
so
you're
kind
branded.
Of, you know. But I mean, I can show like UK stuff, but yeah, it's not like every single week I'm travelling, so it does, I guess you have to get a bit more creative, really.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a really good point to end it on. So where can everybody find you online?
So my blog is taylorhartstravel.com, and then if you search that or go from my blog there, you'll find all my Twitter and Facebook and things like that, but it's just Taylor Harts Travel.
Thanks for listening to What She Said, and if you like this episode or any of the other episodes, please think about giving me a lovely rating on iTunes. I really appreciate it. If you want to connect with me, head over to my blog wanderloose.com, or hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Pinterest, where I'm at wanderlooseblog. Blog.